This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It's all happening today because it's a Tuesday. It's already the 10th of the 10th. Something like 12 weekends left until it's Christmas.
Oh, no.
Yep.
What do you got against Christmas, yeah?
Oh.
What did Father Christmas do to you as a child?
I don't...
Isn't it meant to be, what did he get for you, not what did he do to you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the look on his face is one of horror, Gareth.
Well, because you know what it means. It means another year has gone by, and it's gone by fast, and before you could do anything about it, you didn't even have a chance to plan. We all start with such ambition. January comes along, and you think, I'm going to make lists of everything. I'm going to do everything on time. And then relentlessly, the year marches upon you, and before you know it, there is just this avalanche.
Exactly that.
Yeah. It was your year of yes, and so far you've completed all the tasks of the year of yes, right?
I need to end off with the bigger bang, though.
Oh.
Not in that way. But something really, really huge, and I haven't wrapped my head around it just yet. But yeah.
Okay, well, you've got 12 weekends to go, so yeah?
Because I was looking at my calendar yesterday, and... for the first time, because it was a new week, November the 1st popped up in like 3 weeks. I was like, no, wait, what do you mean? November the 1st is in like 2 seconds now.
I don't mind that things are moving fast because this is the best time of the year. I love October and November just from a weather and everything being green and everything being beautiful point of view. And I just wish that we could extend October and November. That would be... I'd be happy to give up some other months.
It's kind of like the Thursday and Friday of the year.
That's exactly right. Couldn't have put it better. So who was caught up... I know this is boring to people outside of Joburg, but I was stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours yesterday afternoon in... every road I took, I had to get across this river. And believe it or not, there is a river in Joburg. They keep saying that it's the only city that isn't founded on a port or a river. It only has groundwater, right? There are one or two little sprites that flow
through
Joburg.
There's decent rivers. Yesterday, there was a gushing torrent near where I live.
Yes, exactly. Jeez. Now, I was on the other side of that river trying to get across. Every road I went down, and by the way, you don't rely on GPS, Waze, Google Maps. They're not going to help you. They don't know what to do when there's a river. None of them could give me any good advice. So I had to rely...
A rising river.
Oh, yeah. A flood. None of them could help me. Try being stuck on one side of a river, not knowing... I mean, if there was someone from out of town or someone who'd never driven in that area before, they would have been screwed. I found my way. Eventually, I called the person I was meant to meet. It was a business meeting, and we just moved it to somewhere that was... accessible to both of us.
After
driving around for 2 hours, it was just enough.
So how did the call go? We must change the meeting to higher ground.
something like I said to him, look, where are you? And he said, I'm here. And I said, I'm here. And we kind of triangulated on a map. That's exactly what happened. And luckily, you see, this is also where don't think technology will save you every time. Mm-mm. Because as I say, these apps are useless. And in this flood, you're running out of battery. You don't necessarily have a battery backup. And you have to use your mind. So there were two ways I could get around this problem. Number one was to go all the way into the disaster area that was the Sandton CBD and cross there, near where you are, Ben, which was not an option.
No.
And then the other option was also not an option. That was to go and cross here at Sunning Hill, where Rivonia Road and the highway and Witkoppen meet. And that is...
traffic central.
Oh, my God. I mean, there were people... I saw that Rivonia, going in the opposite direction, had not moved for something like 3 hours. It warned me on the app that...
Yeah, because traffic lights then go out. As soon as there's thunder, lightning, hail, whatever, these lights go out.
And people lose their minds.
Yeah,
so who do I bump into at this place that we're meeting? Timothy Maurice. He was also stuck. He got off the Gautrain, and he was stuck for like an hour and a half. in traffic. So he just decided, no, I'm not doing this. Went, sat and had a coffee and caught up on emails and stuff. What you've got to do in these situations is just go, all right. Because, you know, we all get uptight about these things. I listen to podcasts. I'm not even kidding. I got my headphones out. Well, in the car, I had the Bluetooth. But when I got to the place we were meeting, because my Joel, the guy I was meeting with, mm-hmm. he got there about 10 minutes after me. So I sat there and listened to podcasts. Anyway, in the car, got to listen to about, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of podcasts. It was great. Calmed me down, got my brain working. It was just actually kind of relaxing, to be perfectly honest, because there's nothing you can do. So what are you going to do? Get uptight?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because people get into this trap of having to be uptight all the time. You know, it's a general outrage we see on social media. What that extends to is just being uptight the whole time.
You know, talking about this uptightness in social media, because it's all linked. It's because we're running on this fight or flight all the time. We discussed this one morning. Jonathan Witt messaged me because I was just furious about this argument I was having with somebody. Mm-hmm. And he replied to me and said, all discussion is toxic online. Online discussions are always toxic. He says when he came here the other day to do a recording with Roman for the Renegade Report, he bumped into Debbie Droke, who's our friend from Washington.
Yes.
Who he says when he listens to her, he could strangle her because of what she says about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and everything else. But when they were standing here talking in the passage, they got on like a house on fire. He said,
yeah, Debbie's actually great.
Standing talking to her, she openly agreed that Hillary was a terrible candidate, and this is why Trump won. He said, we've all forgotten to concede the points which get us to agreement. The ones that don't matter, but without which we could never find common ground. And so we forget that we're not on a binary system where you're my friend or my enemy. And online, it looks like everyone is either desperate friends or desperate enemies.
But don't you feel like in life we do get to discuss because we see each other's facial expressions, we pick up tone, we engage. Whereas online, all you're ever doing is you're presenting things. It's like me, 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 this, 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 this.
Well, it's that narcissism you spoke about. But here's an interesting observation. And I had this conversation with Joel from Old Mutual, who we had on the show a while ago. He was the guy I met last night. And he said to me, you know, sometimes all it takes is for you to go, I acknowledge your frustration, your pain, your argument, your point of view.
You mean online?
No. You can really only do this in person.
Exactly, because I was about to say online. That even so,
just acknowledge, because people are going through shit, right? There is always a mountain of stuff in people's lives. Their relationships are falling apart. They don't have money. They're hungry. They haven't slept. Their kids are driving them crazy. Some part of their past is catching up with them. Whatever it might be that people are dealing with, we don't think about that stuff. And then they come up to you with a discussion or an argument or a point of view or something, or they go online and they say something, and then that becomes the linchpin for everything, right? And then you're dealing with people who've got a lot of horrible stuff on their plate at that stage, and we forget this is a person with like real things going on in their lives. So nothing you can do about that except acknowledge, like, I actually hear you. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do.
But that's my favorite line. I just, if sometimes in a heat of an argument or discussion, I really don't feel like engaging, you just say, I hear you. Full stop. That's it. You walk away.
Right.
You've said what you had to say.
I hear you. You don't.
I don't agree. I don't feel like engaging, but I hear you.
And that's
You've
enough.
Gotten it off your chest.
Mubs just got back from Commons hotel room. He stayed an extra few days. Mm-hmm. How was it?
Well, I'm now pregnant.
How many tries?
Several.
Were you practicing or was it just fun?
No, I needed to be sure.
Okay.
You know, eventually he was exhausted and he was saying, enough, I think we got it. And I said, no, three more times. Because I needed to be sure. So,
just
breaking
three more
news,
times.
I'm pregnant with Commons baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
I heard what you said yesterday about how he's got all these programs that he deals with, like incarcerated people in the States.
Mm.
And I mean, he's probably got contacts in all the prisons. You better not upset him.
Oh, no, no, no. He is such a gentleman. Oh. Even if I did upset him, nothing terrible would come of it. He's not that type. He's not that profile.
That's so nice.
By the way, this is just after...
That's probably the best compliment you can give someone, especially a guy. Because it means that he's not a, you know, alpha male gorilla. Because that's what like a lot of guys think is the thing to be, including me sometimes when I'm in an aggressive mood. Like, big swinging dicks. But, like, it's so nice to have someone say you're gentle.
Yep.
It's a compliment. Hey, Ben found these, well, he sent us a picture of these two hailstones, like the size of a matchbox and then some. My God, where was that?
Well, this is what I don't get, right? East Rand, West Rand, they love Jesus there. They have lots of churches. There's all kinds of things. But when it comes to a storm, who gets hit the worst?
Where is this going?
Well, see, I'm a big fan of justice. Not just Justice Malala, but justice in general. And these poor people, they praise the Jesus all week. But when the storms come, I mean, those hailstorms are ridiculous. There was a tornado on the West Rand yesterday.
There really was.
And I wasn't just talking about it being a Black Friday sale, an actual tornado.
Listen, there's this massive billboard that they built out of containers in Midrand. Mm-hmm. Sort of between Centurion and Midrand. It's sort of near the SANRAL offices.
Yeah, it's because our shipping economy has gone to shit. So they use these things for...
This thing, it's huge. It is the biggest billboard on the highway, full stop.
Massive.
Well, driving past it this morning, it is in pieces. It's been torn to shreds by yesterday's storm. I don't know, they're going to have to rebuild it from scratch, or it is a disaster. There was this big beer ad on it that is just in pieces.
Yep, global warming.
You know, I got home at about 4 p.m. yesterday, and the thing with my flat is on one side, there's just the sliding doors, and on the other side there are these massive, massive windows. So essentially it's like a massive glass box. Mm-hmm. And with the hail, I thought
you were gonna die.
I sat in the middle going, okay, where do I hide? There's nowhere to hide. I just said, like, I'd accepted death at that point. You know, it was really horrible.
No, it really was. My flatmate was driving in the thick of it in the West Rand when it happened. Her car is dented.
Oh my God.
And then other friends of mine, their windows at home got smashed.
That's it.
People's carports collapsed on their parking cars. So insurance is going to be very busy.
Yeah,
over
it's
the
one
next
of those tough
days.
But I drove back from here. So Rivonia back home, it's all of a 5-minute drive. It took me 25 minutes because I couldn't see more than 5 meters because of the rain.
Mm. I got a video. And that was like, I got a video from a guy. There was water in front of this car of theirs. It looked like a river had erupted out from under the earth. It was storm water or something, but there was water shooting. I don't know. It looked like 2 meters up, shooting up, and the car is like bobbing because it's trying to like find some purchase on the ground.
Oh,
unbelievable! I tell you what, it's exciting to be alive.
No, we had it pretty bad in the East Rand. Like, there was lightning even. The phone line, the Wi-Fi got hit. It was mental in the East Rand. Everything was flooded. People couldn't drive.
Were people shooting at the storm like in Florida?
No, tornado.
Well, that's how people in the East Rand deal with stuff. They shoot it.
The lightning like hit a line and then it fell on the tree and then there was a huge fire.
Oh, my God.
And then people, like, there was just hail everywhere. It was out of control. Scary.
Well, I watched the last two episodes of The Strain, the new season of The Strain. Remember, I got into that like 2-3 years ago. What a great show. Guillermo del Toro is the director, and it's this show about these vampires, and, you know, they call them the Strigoi.
Ooh.
And they eat people, and there's this guy called the Master, who's this, you know, this million-year-old creature that kind of eats humans, and I have to kill him. Great series. I honestly, I thought, you know, this is season, I think it's season 4, the latest one. It's the last one. And I thought it was over because at the end of the previous season, there was a nuclear explosion in New York. and you just think, oh, well, that's the end of that story. And then this season came back, and it was really good. Phenomenal. And I watched the whole thing. I started probably about a week and a half ago, and I just mowed my way through. I think it was 10, maybe 12 episodes. I just ate them up like hotcakes. It's so nice to binge that stuff, especially in weather like yesterday. I mean, I you know, by the time I got home last night, there was one episode left. I was so excited. It was 9 o'clock when I got home. Oh, and the Metro Police stopped me on the way home as well.
How were they on duty in the midst of messy weather?
You would think. I said to the guy, look, I know you guys, because here on Rivonia Road, I said, I know you guys are doing your job. You're looking for people whose licenses aren't up to date and all that kind of thing. But on a day like today, you know what people have been through? Some people have been stuck in traffic for hours and hours and hours. Now they have to be stuck in more traffic because you guys need to do a roadblock. I'm like, give people a break for today. The guy just laughed. Anyway, so when I got home, I watched that. That was my highlight of the day yesterday.
I'm watching a new series. It's called The Sinner. It stars Jessica Biel, Justin Timberlake's wife, amongst other things. And even though I personally think she has like the personality of a rice cake in general, it's kind of natural. Good series, because it's one
What's the deal?
One of those mini series, only 8 episodes, and it's about her being like this average suburban wife, and on one day she goes out to the beach with her husband and her kid, and something just triggers within her, and she stabs someone on the beach.
Yeah, wow. But that's what kids do to you.
So it's like this twisted thing of like, hold up, like, why did she murder this person? And like, but she was so perfect, and what went wrong? And, you know, then we dig into her childhood. Like, did she, you know, was it her going to church all the time? Was it her sister being sick? It is fascinating. It's so dark. It's so weird. But you, like, you can't take your eyes off it.
Must be really cool being Justin Timberlake and watching that. So you just kind of flipped, didn't you? No, it's just a mini series. I promise.
Yeah. I saw
it's getting good reviews. Hey?
Imagine like she gets triggered by one of his songs.
It's called Sinner.
The Sinner. Yeah.
I saw a 2-minute clip on Twitter yesterday of an animated Netflix show, and in this clip, it's this girl who's holding a mirror in her hand, and she discovers her vagina. So she starts talking to her vagina. And then the vagina asks her, would you like a tour? And she says, yeah, okay. So then the vagina explains, well, over here we've got the clitoris, and this is where this and this happens. And then
she talk like a Kardashian?
Almost. And then she explains about the labia majora and minora, and she talks about, oh, and then the girl says, oh, I didn't realize that I have 3 orifices. And then the vagina says, yeah, you have one in the anus as well, but she's like a total asshole. So, I can't remember what it's called, but I need to track
more
that series down, because it was just a 2-minute edited clip that they shared.
That sounds hysterical. That's the promo?
I think so. I don't know if it's a promo or if it's something that was edited out of an episode, but yeah, I need to find out the name and I need to track down that series, because that's what I'm going to watch next.
I'm trying to Google, but I'm so scared of what I need to Google to find this.
Anything you put into Google with what Mabali just gave you as a clue, you're going to end up in trouble.
Netflix vagina series. Let's there we go, it popped up.
During the storm yesterday, says Sean, I was safely at home laughing about the fact that my asshole upstairs neighbors left their windows wide open.
Oh.
Michelle says, Mubs, you look beautiful in that picture with Common. Your cheeks are so rosy. It's meant to be.
Thank you, Michelle.
The show is called Big Mouth, Mubs.
Ah, excellent.
It's all about puberty and the hormone monster.
Oh. It sounds great.
Yeah. And then Ashley says that someone took photographs of the hail, and there is it's as big as golf balls.
The only problem with these things is that this happens every year. So sometimes you see pictures that just keep resurfacing.
Yeah.
Like there's that one tornado in Muldestrif, which is happening every 3 weeks, basically.
Yeah, and it's the same footage from the first time.
It's like when the hurricanes come through Florida, that same shark is just there every single time.
Gloria wants to know, can we still listen through WeChat? I tried this morning, but dololo, otherwise everything's good in the wood. I don't see why not. It should be working. There's no reason not to. Well done to Sia. says somebody, for a smoothly executed show yesterday. I was slightly impressed, I must say. Question for Sia. Was the littering at Opikopi as bad as at Rocking the Daisies? My God, I was shocked when I went to fetch my daughter and darling. Heaps and heaps of plastic and other rubbish.
I was actually surprised at what the process was.
Yeah.
So when we were packing up on Sunday, my friends were just like, okay, cool, we're done. And I was like, no, but wait, what about all of our rubbish? They're like, no, you leave it here and then people come in and they clean up afterwards. So I don't know. I left pretty early on Sunday to avoid the congestion as we were all leaving the farm. So I haven't even seen pictures. But yeah, you just leave your rubbish there. Shucks, I know.
Whole country's full of rubbish, are we?
Well, yeah,
it doesn't make any difference.
But 20,000 drunk people over one piece of
land. It's amazing
how
much crap they generate, huh?
Yeah.
Huge amounts of crap. All right. Should we get stuck into some stuff today?
Yeah.
What are you in the mood for? Oh, by the way, Run Noiner is coming in a little bit later on. We're going to talk a little bit about Crypto Trader, his show. And remember, he's going to pop by every now and then and give us a few important lessons and things we need to know about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in particular, if that's what you're interested in, because we had so many people who've been messaging me for months. I'm sorry it's taken me so long, saying, why doesn't Anthea cover this? Well, Anthea is not that into Bitcoin, but I thought, well, just because she isn't and because I don't understand it doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention. So I thought we'd get Ryan in, and he's so passionate about this. He's got his own CNBC show. And couldn't be a better person to talk about it.
It's a bit like asking your doctor to talk about recreational drugs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Ben's good with these analogies.
Well, just that Anthea is, what she does, people put faith and trust and lots of money into. Yeah. She has processes and systems, and none of that applies to cryptocurrency. Well, not to say cryptocurrency is bad. It's just a very different thing.
Hmm. Yeah, and so few people. A lot of people talk a game there. You know, they've because I read something about how the entire community of people who are invested in cryptocurrency. I don't even think it's 1 million people in the world who have this. So it's not as if it's a fad or a trend yet, but it might get there. So why not pay attention to it? That's why Run's coming in. And then later on, Penny Lebiane, who is a well-known personality in South African media, someone who has had shows here on cliffcentral.com. She's been a part of television, radio. She's still on TV in South Africa, and really is just, her reputation precedes her. She's terrific. I've known her a long, long time. Penny is our guest after 8 o'clock this morning. So, lots to get our teeth into today. Colcacchio Pizzeria, speaking of getting your teeth into something, has something for everybody. Whether you're a meat lover, a vegetarian, or simply someone with a taste for the sweeter things in life, we guarantee that they have the dish to satisfy your craving. You crave pizza. Isn't that the line?
Yes.
Colcacchio's. Hell yes. All right, so while we're talking about Colcacchio's, yesterday was the International Beer and Pizza Day. Anybody celebrate?
No, I didn't, sadly.
I forgot about it, too. By the time I realized, it was already Hail City. So.
Well, yeah, there was the disaster area outside.
So, I don't think that happened. Isn't it bright? It's so bright this morning. The sky is so clear. There's so little crap in the air after that big rain that it feels, Ben was saying when he drove here this morning, it was bright.
Yeah.
He thought it was 7 o'clock.
But then I don't even know how to prepare for the day. When I was getting dressed this morning, I was like, well, it looks cold, and then what if it rains? And then now the sun is out, so...
See, life is going to continue to be a mystery to you, won't it?
How did you... Like, I did not know how to dress. These are the questions that I need answers to at, like, all right, 4 in the morning. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's get into the 5 things you need to know to start your day. Here's Mabale Moloi.
Okay, so the Transport Minister, Joe Masangwane, announced that as from the 1st of February 2018, an amount of 72 rand will be added to the renewal fees for all motor vehicle licenses. Yay!
Why?
Because that's the way the world works.
No, but...
As a transaction fee to be paid to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. This means that for a motorcyclist, the price will go up from 168 rand to 198 rand. And in the case of motor vehicles, the price will go from 226 rand to up to about 306 rand in Gauteng. Again, in different parts of the country, depending on which province that you're in, the prices vary. But yes, there is going to be an increase in the amount of money that we are paying to renew our motor license discs.
Well, is this anything to do with SANRAL being such a failure? Are we subsidizing all the other stuff now with this? Why would it? It's not more expensive for them to make the license disc. A license isn't a thing. There isn't anything there. The admin's already done if you're renewing. You're just giving them money. They just want more money.
Well, they say that every time we renew our license discs, we're paying the local registering authority a fee for permission to drive on the roads.
So why should we?
So they are increasing that fee for permission to drive.
Mubs, let me ask you some questions. Who paid for the road?
Taxpayers' money.
So you?
Yeah.
Who paid for your car?
I did.
Who paid for your fuel?
I do that. I don't have a blesser, so I have to do that.
Who has to sit in traffic?
Me.
Are any of those things disputable?
No.
So why do you also need a license?
Because I need permission to drive on these roads, Gareth.
From whom?
From government.
What are they going to do if you don't have permission?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do if I don't have permission, but what they are doing is increasing the amount for me to keep having the permission to drive on these roads.
I've got nothing against permission because you've got to have a certain amount of cars on the road and it's got to be some sort of law and order. That's fine, but why must it come at a cost?
No, there is none of that that you're talking about. I bet you there are plenty of cars that don't have up-to-date license discs.
Of course they're not, but then that's why the people have roadblocks like you were stuck in yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm talking about permissions, so you can't just build your own piece of shit car powered by a donkey.
I've seen those cars. Okay. There are cars like that.
But they shouldn't be allowed on those.
Have you ever seen those cars that are piled up to the rafters with bags and stuff? You know, with a bucky, the back of the bucky drags on the ground. You see them often enough. Who are they trying to convince? I mean, no one's policing this stuff. Don't pretend. I think this is nonsense. It's just a money-making scheme. This is another stealth tax.
Well, these renewal amounts are apparently escalated to the National Vehicle Database that is administered by the Road Traffic Management Corporation. And this is so that they can keep track of all the fines that they're issuing to us anywhere in the country. So they say that that requires a lot of money to do that. So essentially, we are paying this fee so that we can be monitored.
I think it's just another way for a government that is running out of ways to get money out of us to get money out of us. What else is going on?
Paramedics have confirmed that at least one person died and two others were hurt in that tornado that unfolded in the Krugersdorp area. Two people were hurt at a Krugersdorp mall as well. This is after a section of the roof caved in over a grocery shop. So it would seem that, you know, parts of the West Rand definitely got the brunt of those thunderstorms from yesterday. One person confirmed they having lost their life, and then two others still in hospital. So that's a little bit unfortunate.
Westerland.
Yeah, It can be dangerous. The High Court has ordered the Bank of Baroda to keep the accounts of Gupta-linked companies open, pending a final application which must be launched within 15 days. Pretoria High Court Judge Taiti Magoka granted the request interdict against the bank, which prohibits the bank from deactivating or closing the banking accounts of the Gupta businesses. The matter pertains to an application the companies made against the Indian-based bank. Baroda wants to join the four major banks in South Africa, being Absa, Standard Bank, Nedbank and FNB, in closing Gupta accounts. The Bank of China previously also closed Gupta-linked accounts, but the Guptas are not happy with the Bank of Baroda for doing that. And now this High Court judge has ordered that, listen, you have to keep these accounts open pending a final application, which must be launched in the next 2 weeks.
I carry on saying this with tears in my eyes, but why weren't these precious Guptas, why aren't they allowed to bank? If we can get an answer here, I feel like something else could happen. Because they're crooks. Okay, cool. We'll prosecute them then. Because this back and forth, why would you not be able to have a bank account? Why are people saying, no, you can't have a bank account?
Here's the problem.
But are you that much of a criminal?
The banks,
in that case,
the
then why
don't
are they
want
being prosecuted?
Well, the banks can't arrest you.
I know the banks can't, but banks don't want your money?
You think Sean Abrahams can do it? Of course he can. You think he's going to?
But if you think about it simply, banks need money, otherwise they got nothing. If they don't want your money, there's a lot wrong here.
That's right. That's right.
So if there's a lot wrong here, can't we take the next step as to what is wrong here? Ah, okay, you're criminals and your money's dodgy, right? Okay, so you go to jail.
Yeah. We know that. All of that is common knowledge. Now, we need someone to institute prosecutorial proceedings. The only people who are empowered to do that are the state and the arm of state that is responsible for this is the National Prosecuting Authority. So, Shaun the Sheep, you reckon he's going to do it today?
Okay, I don't think so. Herein is probably the simplest definition of state capture then.
There we are. Anyone who doesn't believe in it, there it is. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
And then a Durban man who had sex with a local male doctor then blackmailed him with video evidence in order to extort money has been sentenced to 7 years imprisonment.
Oh, more sex then for him, huh?
You better be careful about this extortion business in case you get caught. 7 years.
Maybe that was his plan the whole time.
Didn't
Ben.
Zaid Ali Hussein coerced a prominent Chatsworth doctor into having sexual relations with him and then subsequently made recordings of their lovemaking sessions. He used the recordings to extort more than 400,000 rand from the doctor by threatening to tell his family about his sexuality.
400,000 rand?
Yep, and to ruin his career.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, all he had to do is use John T's line. Everyone's straight until it feels good.
Oh. Okay.
Then you would have been fine. Screw your blackmail.
I didn't even know that that was John T's line. But
I didn't
right.
either.
John T's got a few.
I'm not opposed to that at all. The doctor, who belongs to a prominent family and wanted to keep his tryst with Hussein private, then acceded to the accused's weekly demands for money for about a year. So for a year he was paying this guy. But Ali was then arrested by police in February after the doctor lodged a formal case against him. And now this man has been sentenced to 7 years imprisonment.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
Jeez.
And let that be like a kind of precedent case too for those people who think that it's okay to blackmail others with, sexting and internet porn and private communications, because you know that's going to happen if it hasn't happened already. So this guy was trying to extort money from the other guy because they'd had gay sex. So they must we must all learn from this. And this would count for straight people too. If you try to extort money from somebody because of sexual relations that they've had with you, you're not going to win. You'll go to jail for 8 years, huh?
Seven.
Sure. Okay.
That in itself is a lot.
Sure. All right. Don't do it, people. Yeah. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the world of sport. Ben, over to you.
Well, October's been an exciting month of football so far. You know, Russia 28 is obviously around the corner. It's the European summer of 2018. Well, these are the teams that have qualified so far from this month alone. Germany have gone through. They are winners of Group C. England have gone through. Winners of Group F, then Spain, winners of Group G. Nigeria have gone through, then Costa Rica have gone through, so have Poland, Egypt, and then yesterday, Iceland and Serbia, all going through. Now what happens is that you get these automatic qualifiers, which are the teams I've just mentioned, plus you get kind of qualifiers, so we know that Syria is still in the mix. They've got to beat Australia, and then they beat another Asian qualifier. So there's various ways to get in, but these teams are taking the high road, the rock star way through. Top your group, get the high fives, focus on Russia. That's what these guys are doing. FIFA
Isn't
have
really that amazing? Like Syria and Australia, they couldn't be more far apart, and yet they have to compete in qualifiers against each other as if they were neighbors.
It's just amazing that Syria, I mean, like we've always said, all they have in that
team,
country
yeah.
is rubble and terrorism.
Yeah.
Rubble and terrorism. Team. And football comes out of that. Can
somehow.
Flourish out of that somehow.
Amazing.
FIFA have released their annual useless Ballon d'Or list. So we all know it's either Messi or Ronaldo. You kind of flip a coin.
Uh-huh.
Last couple of years, it's been Ronaldo. But FIFA do that whole thing of like making a 30-man shortlist, which is the biggest waste of time. I don't know if they're just trolling for likes or whatever, but basically they're, in their eyes, the 30 top footballers in the world. They go through this long list and then the press give it lip service by saying, well, you know, this guy's had a really great year. This guy's really done absolute bollocks. It's Messi or Ronaldo. Neymar will believe he has a case for this. But, I mean, they've given Harry Kane a nomination, Kevin De Bruyne. Okay, I mean, all these players are good. There's no doubt about that. But they're not Ronaldo good. They're not Messi good. They're not like, shit, he's not playing today, so therefore our team is screwed good. Okay, maybe this with Harry Kane and Spurs, but that's because they're a lesser team. So it's a list that will be ummed and ahed, but again, how can it not be Ronaldo? How can it not be? I mean, Messi has actually fallen off a bit in the last 6 months. So maybe it's going to be Ronaldo and maybe Neymar.
But it'll be Ronaldo, is what
you
said.
But it'll be Ronaldo. And the thing is, like, they can't go, well, you know, guys, the interest is kind of waning in this. We've got to give this to someone else. I really think that Toni Kroos should win this year. But then they'll be like such a slap in the face for the award because it is about excellence. People from around the world do what they can to pronounce Ballon d'Or. This thing can't just be an average award. I always thought it was FIFA then had this thing called the best award. What happened to that? Yeah. Or am I just being very confused here?
Well, this is the one. And it's always, the you know, last couple of years, as you say, it swaps between Messi and Ronaldo. And this year, it's probably going to be Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Can you bet on this? Because even if the odds are not great, Gareth, you still win some money.
You can bet on which way Ronaldo dresses in the morning. You can bet anything. Just find the right bookie. Mm-hmm. No problem whatsoever.
All right.
So that's your football. In rugby, well, the Box obviously still feeling like they've really restored the pride. And they have.
Really, but they really... That was restoring the pride, was fighting hard and losing by only 1 point. Well, so low have we sunk.
They lost by 57 points the last time they played this team. Everyone gave them about as much chance.
Didn't you say that that New Zealand didn't even care about this match and they were going to do a half-assed job anyway?
Well, look, New Zealand are New Zealand. They're the greatest team in the world. And what they do so well that no one else does is that they put other players in the team from time to time. So they've got their player pool is like 30. Ours is about 12 with hanger-oners. So what these guys do is they always present the ultimate test in rugby. And I think what the Box did on the weekend, it gave them belief again that, you know what, with the bar has been lowered, we seem to be running around in circles for the last few years. But when it comes down to it, we still possess something special. Didn't get us the win, but it definitely did restore a hell of a lot of faith and hope in people. I mean, people talk about rugby now like they like it again. And that can't be dismissed.
For a week.
You get all those hard-ass people or people who just don't care, go, oh yeah, but 1 point loss or 50 point loss is the same thing. Obviously, it's the same thing, technically speaking, but I mean, there's more to it than that. Anyway, I'm tired of arguing with dumbasses. So the World Rugby, they come out with some statements every now and again when people ask them, and they want to know if Ryan Crotty's try, which he scored with his crotch, it was actually a legal try. So then the refs are going, yeah, it kind of was. So, you know, it's a try, it's a stance. But, I mean, it was a dodgy try. I think the Box,
Ryan Crotty?
He's the centre for the All Blacks. He scored a controversial try, which put the All Blacks ahead at halftime.
Sure.
And then the other thing was, should Damon Dallander get a red card? And they said, no, he shouldn't have got a red card.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which then made me make a video rant. I made my first video rant yesterday.
Oh.
Hope you enjoyed. Yeah, so Odwa Ndungani. He's old, and he's finally quitting rugby. He has been playing forever. Akona and Odwa Ndungani have been two players in the South African setup. They've been playing literally forever. You think these guys play on the wing where you've got to be really fast. I mean, Odwa's 36 years old. That's older than me.
Wow.
And he's still playing for the Sharks. So this weekend, it'll be a sort of commemorative tribute match for Odwa. It's the Sharks versus the Western Province. The Sharks are the runaway favourites to win the Currie Cup this year because the Cheetahs, well, don't have a team anymore. They basically put out whoever's still playing rugby in Bloemfontein to play this while the big team plays the Pro 14. So the Sharks are all the way through to the final, I would imagine, because they've got a home semi. You know, they get me too strong from there. So if you really do like the Sharks, and most importantly, paying tribute to players like Odwa and Ngani, this weekend, go down to Kings Park and get nice and drunk in the field before lots of young girls running around. It's something for everyone. Nice. And Odwa's tribute
match.
And Odwa,
they'll wheel him out for
and
the fight.
And they'll wheel Odwa out. In cricket news, there is a great match happening at the moment. Pakistan versus Sri Lanka. It is a day-night test that's happening in Dubai. Sri Lanka batted bloody well in the beginning, 482. Pakistan stuttered to 262, but then they fought back and bowled Sri Lanka out for 96. needing 300 odd runs to get through. They made a terrible start to things. They were 3 wickets down for bug roll runs. But Sarfraz Ahmed and Asad Shafiq, they've put together a handy partnership. They've somehow got the score to 198 for 5. So today, they will need 119 runs and there's 5 wickets in hand. So Pakistan can either collapse in about the space of 20 minutes or they can go on to record a famous test victory here. That'll be on today. Great finish, even though there's no atmosphere when the games are played in Dubai, because basically it's all the 4 people who got off from being a janitor that day. There is a great game at hand here. And these day-night tests, they seem to go well in that part of the world. They really do.
Okay.
That's pretty much it for all the world of sport right now. In F1, people are basically saying that Ferrari is screwed. They've got no chance. Argentina, well, we'll get into that tomorrow. But basically, the South American World Cup qualifiers, really, really hot stuff right now, because Argentina are currently 6th in the World Cup qualifiers for South America. The top 4 go through. They are 6th.
Uh-oh.
Can you imagine a World Cup without Argentina?
I won't watch it if there isn't.
All they had to do was just focus on a fat Diego Maradona in the stands.
I'm so glad he's still alive.
The world does not need that.
I absolutely thought he would be dead by now. Really. I thought he would be dead by 2010. I was so pleased to see him in person at the 2010 World Cup. I could see him with a pair of binoculars across the field. Yeah. It was a highlight for me. Been watching him since I was 3. All right. Let's get into Said by Sia. I found you some temporary theme music, Sia. Are you ready for it?
Okay. Let's go with this.
It's time to be inspired. To find a reason to wake up and smile today. To connect. To be conscious. Sia Sangwene. Take it away, Sia.
Why did I, when that music played, just vision this grand finale of a spectacular show at SeaWorld with two whales?
Two orcas.
Yeah, they synchronize in the air.
And then eat their trainers.
Oh, never mind. As we go with positivity. So we are right getting into October. And actually, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, right? I hope we all remember that.
Right.
And there's an amazing doctor who's doing some awesome things to highlight breast cancer awareness and to more so make her own difference in a way that she can. So a Dr. Liana Ruert in the Cape has actually set up something called Project Flamingo, which is a non-profit organization that funds timely surgery for breast cancer patients in the Western Cape. Now listen to this. She actually performs free surgeries for breast cancer patients in government hospitals.
Wow.
To alleviate the long waiting lists.
That is a hero.
Really is.
You know, we're looking for... We need a hero! There is someone who's doing it right now. I mean, she's got a skill, right? She's a surgeon. That's hard work. You have to study for a long time. It's not a pleasant business.
Mm.
She's going around and doing free breast surgery for women with breast cancer.
Yeah.
What an incredible human being.
I think it's awesome. So her project is called Project Flamingo, and she's doing this throughout the month of October. They, you know, they've already received feedback like, you know, thanks to the project. This is a government hospital speaking. They say, thanks to the project, we have managed to reduce the surgery waiting time significantly at hospitals around the Cape. So Project Flamingo also hands out around 200 pamper packs per month to newly diagnosed breast cancer patients. And this is just a small token of hope and a thread of care for these patients. So part
and,
of those
and it's probably not just her. She's probably got a team of others involved as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But you know, right. What I like about it, it's the small gesture of even these pamper packs, which includes like a body wash or hand cream and some lip ice and a face cloth. And we really take these things as these tiny little things, but for someone who's really struggling with a new diagnosis or has just gotten out of surgery, this tiny, tiny gesture can mean a heck of a lot. And also partnering with Dr. Liana Ruert is also a little organization called the Massage Truck. Now they just go around the Cape and they, you know, they have this little van and they go around massaging people.
Oh, but I come here, massage truck.
They usually do that for a fee, but for the month of October, they're also going around to people who've just gotten out of breast cancer surgery and they massage them for free. So a little tiny gesture as well, just to make these people feel good as well.
I love that.
So what I like is everyone, as you were saying earlier, everyone is just doing their bit. And it's not about doing some great grand thing, but it's about being able to identify what you are good at or how you can extend yourself and just do some kindness for that time. So huge, huge kudos to Dr. Liana Root from Project Flamingo and also the massage truck for what they're doing for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Fantastic.
Awesome stuff.
That's very nice. All right. And that's why people are wearing pink ribbons and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all connected.
For the month of October.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month. When we come back, we'll get into some news. We will talk to Run about the cryptocurrencies that we started talking about a couple of weeks ago. And Penny Lebiane, our guest on the show later on this morning. All of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.